All right, welcome to the Detroit Lions News Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Chap, along with my co-host, Tyler. And Tyler, you are live from work, kind
That's
of.
Right. Let's go.
You are live. You'll actually be live in the car pretty soon. So we will get a car cast version of Tyler, which that'll be a lot of fun. But we have a lot to talk about because obviously tomorrow, Detroit Lions versus Green Bay Packers, we all know what's going down. And Tyler, before we get to like the Green Bay Packers game, me and you didn't get the chance to rebuttal like about the Atlanta Falcons game. What was your key takeaway from the Atlanta Falcons game, just real quick?
Yeah, I mean, I know it's been kind of tough because we've been hopping on a couple other like live games after the games and stuff. So like for our fans here, some of the things we went over, just super dominant on the defensive side. I mean, we held Bijan to like, what was it, 33 yards rushing on 10 attempts. So it was really nice to be able to showcase our defense. We freaking balled out due to the sack. We like generated 7 sacks. So yeah, just right there, looking at the comparison between Robinson and Gibbs. I mean, Gibbs looked amazing for the most part. Something that I did say when we were chopping it up is I still am curious if we're utilizing him and using him the way that we should be. But I also understand that it's the third game of his career, and like you have to learn about a player and you have to learn about like how you fit him in the scheme. So like I'm not mad at it. Because I was actually happy that we punched him up the tackles a few times just to see what it would look like as a 3-down back. But overall, I thought it was really good, really, really good defensive game. Brian Branch looks like an absolute stud, which we all know that. He's looking like one of the best value picks in the draft. So, yeah, man, if you want to take it over from here and show that graphic and kind of go dive into Brian Branch's game a little bit.
Yeah, well, you know, since at least 1994, Lions DB, Brian Branch is the NFL's only DB to produce a game with 10-plus tackles, 3 tackles for loss, and 2 passes defended. And then it was funny because in the same quotation on the rookie side for Jahmyr Gibbs and Sam Laporta, they were the first – the Lions had a rookie rush for 80-plus yards to Gibbs and a rookie record 80-plus receiving yards for Sam Laporta in the same game. The last time they did that was on December 17th, 1989, with running back Barry Sanders rushing for 104 yards and Jason Phillips logging 115 receiving yards. I don't know about you, but to be in the same category as Barry Sanders, and I don't really know who Jason Loggins is, but that's a pretty special category.
Oh, absolutely. No, he is looking like a beast, man. He, he's just doing all the things that you need to do from a player perspective. He seems like his communication is good. His skill set is good. He plays with such aggressiveness. He's looking like an absolute dog.
Oh yeah, for sure. The one thing I took away from the game though is, I think when we go back on it, the way that they stuffed the run, like it was incredible. Like you held them to 44 rushing yards. We go back to this graphic. The defense on versus Atlanta, 7 sacks, 7 pass breakups, 8 quarterback hits, 11 tackles for loss, 0 TDs allowed. You held the Falcons, which is a high paced running attack, to 44 rushing yards. And there was no run longer than 11 yards. If, to me, that tells me, number one, you keyed in on it. And that another part of it is it kind of gives me a lot of confidence for when you go against this Green Bay team. Because when we look at this Green Bay team, we look at the way that they play. A lot of times, Jordan Love likes to go back there, play the play action, get things rolling with a run game. And lately, it hasn't been there. Because if you look at it, this is their offense per game versus Detroit Lions offense per game. The Lions offense is 10th in the league with 384.7 yards a game. They're at 308.7, but I want you to go to the rushing yards, which is 23rd in the NFL with 90 rushing yards. The Detroit Lions are 11th with 111, and they score more. The Packers score more points, which I don't really get, but whatever. It's an interesting category because if you look at the Lions defense right here, look at it. 5th in rushing, 5th in defending the run. You know, they're 11th in total yards.
We've been looking amazing this year on doing that, dude. We have looked amazing on defending the run. So like just the fact like, and that's something that we struggled so bad at. Like even last year, like just seeing us against the run is huge for us. Like, I remember going against Seattle last year and watching Rashad Penny just literally stick his foot up our ass the entire game. Like, the fact that we're doing this well on the run defense is big time.
And I take a lot of
Emmanuel Mosley back, and he's going to help in the pass D. So the fact that our run D is doing better is great news.
Well, the thing I laugh about is like people are acting like Jerry Jacobs was such a bad downgrade from Emmanuel Mosley, which we don't even know what Emmanuel Mosley is going to be. Hopefully he comes back and he gets back in the rotation pretty quickly and he doesn't like suffer any like setbacks. But
absolutely
with Jerry Jacobs, like I think a lot of people think that Jerry Jacobs has to be perfect, and that's just not gonna happen. Jerry Jacobs is he's a player he is. He's not gonna be this great elite player, but he's gonna be a good player. And as a backup, he's good enough to be your backup. And that's exactly what he is playing right now because Emmanuel Mosley's out. So it's interesting because, like I said, if you go back to the defensive comparison between the two teams, the one thing that I think the Detroit Lions can take advantage of is right there. And the Detroit Lions could be getting David Montgomery back tomorrow. So if they can get David Montgomery back, look at those rushing yards that the Green Bay Packers are allowing. 136.7 on the ground, which is almost a league worst. Now, I know they don't give up a lot of points, either do the Lions, but it's going to be like an over-under type of game. But I think that if you can, you know, just grind them out, you can really put teams on their heels. And I think that Green Bay Packers, they're a team that like they want you to pass because they got good DBs. They just can't defend the run. So if I'm the Detroit Lions, I'm going out there and I'm going to try to force them to run. I mean, I'm going to force the run game more than I have ever forced the run game, because I think last week when you played Atlanta, they were a pretty decent run game team. You know, with Dave Montgomery coming back, that really gives Gibbs a little bit of time to breathe, and that helps you out with you know, just like trying to move forward, you know.
Yep, I totally agree, man. The way I view it is that the Packers were not – I don't even really think the Packers are necessarily certain about their own identity. So the fact that we, you know, we're able to kind of see what they're interested in as far as that goes, I don't want to say this. They are a young team that are similarly kind of going through, like, kind of a rebuild, kind of not. They're kind of like in that, like, they don't know what they're going to want to do, right? Yeah. So they're like, they're kind of in limbo. But the way I see it is that, you know, they, once they start to find that identity, it's going to be a little bit harder to defend them. But I think as of right now, because Jordan Love is younger and inexperienced and they're like, their receivers have been banged up, they are going to try to run the ball as much as they can. I wasn't sure that – I don't know if Aaron Jones is for sure coming back this week.
He's questionable. Well, let's get to that. The injury report, Bakhtiari is out for the Green Bay Packers. Elton Jenkins, their guard, is out. Zane Anderson, who is a linebacker, is out. Devondre Campbell is out. That's a key one because if you looked at Sam Laporta last week and you seen him running free in the, you know, in the backfield, with Campbell out, he's probably one of their best tight end defenders. Like that's what he is. That's what Devondre Campbell has made his name on, and he's going to be out. So that's an interesting one. Questionable is Aaron Jones and Christian Watson and Jari Alexander. I think they're all going to play. On the Lions side, you have a little bit of you could potentially get back all your guys. I mean, they're all questionable between Mosley, Decker, Joseph, and Montgomery, but you got Vitai, Nelson, and Kabinda out. That's why they signed Darryl Daniels today. From the practice squad. So I look at it and I think that the Lions are getting healthier. I know the Packers are potentially getting healthier as well, but ultimately, like the way you look at it is like, I think it's going to be a better game than most of us thought last week. Cause I thought when you looked at both the Packers injury report and you looked at the Lions injury report, you were like, holy hell, this is going to be like a rough game on a Thursday night because it's a short week. But I think both teams held out players. I think both teams held out players last Sunday because of they wanted to have them for this game.
Well, and I think if you want to pull the graphic back up for me on the injury report, I think that I think Taylor Decker is going to be a go. I still think they probably keep it safe, maybe with Mosley and Joseph. I don't know the quite extent of the Kirby Joseph injury.
No, I don't either. I don't think anybody does.
They've been pretty quiet about that kind of stuff, and I kind of, like, I don't hate it, but I also know that, like, It sucks because I know they're kind of close to the chest. I think it rubs people the wrong way sometimes because Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn were the same way. Like, don't worry about it. But I do see the game plan behind it.
Yep.
But I think, you know, with Kabinda and Nelson, I don't really see that as that big of a deal. But I think getting Taylor Decker back is going to be huge for us. And I think that with Mosley being questionable, I still don't see him leaning towards playing just because he hasn't really gotten a lot of, like, live practice reps and scout reps because he is coming off, like, he hasn't gotten to play since his injury last year. So I still think maybe another week or two on him. But outside of that, I mean, I'm pretty pleased with our health. I know we're a little banged up. I know guys like Amon-Ra and, you know, a couple guys like that went down or whatever. And then also Montgomery, I would say I see Montgomery as a go as well. But regardless, I mean, you got five or six guys out, but that's usually the healthiest you're going to be as a team throughout the year anyways. Football's it's a rough sport, and also, like, they baby these cats a lot now. So, like, you know, guys are going to usually at least – most players are usually going to miss 2-3 games at least per year, most guys. So – unless you're Amon-Ra, you're just an absolute freak. Dude put a steel toe plate in his cleat so that, like, he wouldn't bang his toe. I'm like, this dude is an animal.
Well, that's because Amon-Ra is a monster. But it seems like so Adam Schefter, he said something about – he thinks that I don't know where people are reading it, but he says that he thinks that Dave Montgomery might be a go tomorrow. So that's interesting.
Yeah, and I kind of feel the same way. I mean, I think Dave Montgomery really wants to play. He wants to get these division games in. And I know he said before, like, that earlier this week that, like, I've never beaten the Packers. This would mean so much to me. Like, that is that's awesome to see and hear because, like, he has that drive that he wants to go in there and smack our, you know, a division rival. And, like, he takes pride in that. Like, oh, I've never gotten to beat them before. Like, I get to be a part of something special. And, like, I actually have a chance to go in there and win. Like, it kind of, like, gives you those vibes that some of these guys that lost the love of the game, they kind of gain it back when they come play for Detroit, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's interesting because, like, obviously, if you're the Lions, you have a lot on the line tomorrow, in my opinion. I don't know if you see my video, Tyler, but what I was getting at yesterday was I said, well, it didn't really go anywhere because I don't know why, but YouTube's been stupid lately. But anyways, we'll move on. What I said yesterday is if you win this game tomorrow against the Green Bay Packers, you literally open up yourself to be potentially, you know, 5-2 at the bye week. Because I look at – there's only one game after this game that I really think that is going to be a hard game. It's going to be Baltimore when you go to Baltimore. Because Baltimore is Baltimore. I mean, I don't care who's playing for them. They're always a tough-ass team to play against. And they're a pain in the ass to go play against in Baltimore. And Lamar Jackson is Lamar Jackson. Even though I don't think he's the greatest quarterback in the world, I think that he's an amazing playmaker. And we already know what happened with the last time he played the Ravens, so we won't talk about that. But
Well, you know, the Colts are, you know, I'm like, it's like I'm also a fan of the Colts because my family's from there. And watching that game, I couldn't believe Tucker, man, he was short on 61. I was like, oh, that would have never happened against the Lions.
Yeah, he would have made it from like 90. But I couldn't believe the Colts won that game. If we're gonna be honest with ourselves, because I thought the Colts were an inferior
team.
That does make me
curious about how I might view this game with the Lions, though, because, like, dude, a backup quarterback for the Colts who have an extremely young and inexperienced roster. I mean, they won a close game against the Ravens, who many thought would be like an NFC favorite or an I'm sorry, AFC favorite. AFC favorite.
Yeah, I don't really. That game was ultra weird, though. The whole game was weird, though.
But like, you also, really throughout the year, you have teams that shouldn't beat teams that do. Like, the Cardinals should not have beat the Cowboys, but it happened. The Cowboys were sleeping on them because they were like, oh, this is the shittiest team in the league. They came in and they didn't have me. Like, that just doesn't make sense. So, like, yeah. I'm not going to, like, at all, like, go into Baltimore and be like, oh, we got this. The Colts beat them. Like, they're still a good team. They'll still you know, I have Baltimore as the AFC North winners this year. So it's going to be a tough game.
Yeah, I think going to Baltimore is going to be the toughest game on your schedule. I mean, I don't know what to make of the Buccaneers moving forward. But like I told people yesterday, like I said, look, if you win this game tomorrow, it opens up where you can potentially go into the bye week with the 5 wins, maybe 6 wins, and you're golden. I mean, I don't see anybody on the schedule. Like, is Carolina going to come into Detroit and beat you? I would hope not. You know, do you really fear the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Probably not.
Right.
It's interesting.
And the Lions, so I got another question for you.
Yeah.
Do you think, so JMO's eligible to return week 7, correct?
Yeah.
Do you think they wait until after the bye week 10 to give him a couple weeks to acclimate, or do you think they just throw him right in?
No, I think they're going to get him ready to go. I think they're going to have people working with him, you know, trying to get him ready to go by week, you know, by the Baltimore game. Because, listen,
you can't keep, like, elongating it, like, oh, just another couple – oh, we got to get you acclimated. Like, because at some right. point you're just going to be never ready to play, right?
Right. No, yeah, you got to get him ready to play. I mean, you might need him in Baltimore with, like, if it's a close game and you need someone to get down the field in a quick, you know, jiffy. But besides that, like,
before, and I know we continually talk about it, but what the hell is this going to look like when JMO actually plays like a full 65 snaps? Like, you know, I'm curious. Like, I think it has the potential to be a great thing, but it's going to be weird because we've only seen him like 10 snaps at a time, 12 snaps at a time. I mean, like, you're talking about this guy has been getting like, you know, Khalif Raymond type of like number of reps. Like we're like, I'm excited to see what it looks like once he gets like 55, 60, 65 reps, you know, getting 80, 85, 90% of the offensive reps. If he ever gets to that point, I'm excited to see what he does with that, whether it's, you know, his game breaking ability on the speed, or, you know, he's able to sharpen up his route running. His route running looks better to me and in practices and training camp than people give him credit for. So I'm excited to see what that looks like. I know we always find a way to talk about JMO at least once in every pod. It's just hard not to. Like, you got a guy that you're sitting there that's, you know, a 12th overall pick that you're just waiting to see what you're going to get from. So it's like, I think we're all, like, excited. But, like I said, you just got to see what it looks like to have a full game with him in there just to see what kind of attention he commands and what kind of targets he commands.
Yeah, the JMO thing is interesting because if he comes back and lights it up, he potentially can make you a Super Bowl contender, literally. Because if you look at this offense, if JMO is even just, let's say JMO is just a gadget player, right? Like, JMO is your guy that's going to run downfield, catch a deep ball, everything. Like, that is huge because the one thing that the Lions are missing throughout their offense is a deep threat. I mean, I know a lot of people, I know people like St. Brown, I know people like LaPorta, but those are not deep threats. I mean, if you want to say Josh Reynolds is a deep threat, all right, be my guest, I guess. But
would you be upset if his, like, if his floor, not ceiling, everybody don't get upset, but if his floor was like a Hollywood Brown, but like a little bit better catching? I mean, a guy that can, you know, take the top off and give you a, you know, 50, 60, 70 yard gain, but maybe doesn't get the 80, 90, 100 catches that you're wanting out of your wide receiver one. Like, is it super upsetting if his floor is Hollywood Brown, or are you still like expecting his floor to be higher?
No, I wouldn't say it's disappointing, because obviously Hollywood Brown's a good player besides the drops. I mean, if you're going to look at it from a realistic standpoint, if he's Hollywood Brown, he's going to come in at a way cheaper price than he would if he was like a Tyreek Hill. And if you can keep JMO and St. Brown and they're your wide receivers for what, 10, 15, you know, 10, 8 years, and you win a Super Bowl with them, I mean, are you going to say no? No, you're not going to say no. I think St. Brown is the guy that you're going to build around on the wide receiving core, because I think that when you look at, like, Antoine Randall, he's a coach of the wide receiver room with the Detroit Lions. I think that he sees a lot of Hines Ward and St. Brown. You know, he's not like this great player. He's not like this, you know, overly tall, you know, athletic. He's not like this guy that's going to, like, wow you with his size or his speed. He's just a guy that's smart and savvy, and that's exactly what you want out of a wide receiver.
Yeah, I still, in my opinion, and this may be like more old school thinking, I guess, the way the league is, but, like, I still would, like, love a big body 50-50 ball guy. you know, to pair up with J-Mo and St. Brown. I love the idea of that. So hopefully we can find that. And I think Brad Holmes, he has the ability to find some
but positions. What if Sam LaPorta is that 50-50 guy? Like, Sam LaPorta is that 50-50 guy? Because I think, you know, like, we look at it like this. Like, you need a wide receiver. But, like, if Sam LaPorta is, like, let's say he's, like, Travis Kelce, right? Let's say that's what he is. Let's just say.
Right.
That's a guy that you could go throw up the 50-50 ball. I mean, even George Kittle, even Mark Andrews is a guy like that. I mean, you have a guy like St. Brown and J-Mo on the other side, and it really evens the field.
Well, and let me rephrase, too. Like, I don't always mean, like, so this guy, like, I would love Mike Evans or Devontae. Like, you know, even if we could get a guy, like, a younger receiver, and Antoine Green could be that guy. If we could get a guy like prime Marvin Jones or prime like DJ Chark or somebody, you know, it's funny because we have had both of those guys, but a guy that can like is not necessarily like I'm not asking for like an elite option where like, you know, a Jamar Chase or a Mike Evans or these guys that are going to cost a lot of money. But if we can find an option of someone who can just go up and high point a ball, and we can also pair that up with St. Brown in the slot and then J-Mo with the burners, you know, it's going to open up like a tri-level offense. Like, it's going to open up a true progression read, like West Coast tri-level offense. And so, you know, that's something that like would be interesting. Like I said, Antoine Green could be that guy. So, you know, as far as, you know, wrapping this back up towards like the game that's coming up, you know, I'm interested. I still think the Packers have a pretty elite defense. So I'm interested what that's going to look like. It was weird to see Josh Reynolds all of a sudden. Of course, the week I pick him up in fantasy, and the week I put him in my boomer bust prize picks, you know, he literally gets like no targets. So I'm curious, like, what the hell is our identity for this pass game? Is it going to just be like a spread around whoever's open, whoever's hot that day is hot? Is Marvin Jones going to have a day? Are they going to continue to get Khalif Raymond more involved? Are they going to get Josh Reynolds some more love? Like, I'm curious to see what that looks like, because seeing Josh Reynolds get no carry or no targets, but then all of a sudden Khalif Raymond is playing 65% of the snaps. I think Ben Johnson's keeping all the teams guessing just as well as us. So it's interesting to think about.
You brought up Josh Reynolds and you said you put him in your prize picks and like he was
no targets, bro. None. Zero.
Okay, let me just put it to you this way. I had this long shot parlay that I did. Like, I do a long shot parlay every week because, like, you never effing know. Anyway, so I did this long shot parlay, and the only leg that was missing to win $29,000 off of a $5 bet was Josh Reynolds. All I needed was 25 yards. That's all I needed.
That's crazy.
He can't do that.
Yeah, I see a comment here from Richard. It says, we need another pass rusher like Aiden Hutchinson on the other side. To rush the quarterback, what do you think? What is your opinion? You're not gonna, unless you're picking in the top five, you're not gonna get another Aiden Hutchinson. You're just not going to, and I don't think we're willing to give up the capital where we're at right now. But I do think it's important that we do build in the trenches again, and we do look at another pass rusher, whether that's through trade or free agency or the draft. But I think Aiden is primed to be a special guy, and unless we're planning on picking in the top five again, I don't think we're gonna get another one of those soon.
No, I think you're right about that. I think a lot of people want, like, they want two pass rushers that can rush the quarterback. And the reality
doesn't everybody. We're not the Niners.
the reality of the situation is you want someone like that, but you're not going to get someone like that. And the crappy thing about it is, like, we all know about, you know, like, if you go back to, like, the like what the New England Patriots with Rob Ninkovich I'm forgetting the guy's name, but anyways, they had a great pass rushers, but they weren't like over, you know, like look at the San Francisco 49ers. I mean, they have Nick Bosa on one side, and on the other side, can you name the other guy? You know,
I know they run a little, you know, they got Eric Armstead, and they've got, you know, sometimes they rush, you know, different backers and stuff, but no, you're absolutely right. I mean, most play, like, once you have a guy on, like, name another pass rusher on the Rams.
I mean, they had Leonard Floyd for a while, but now they don't. Like, if you went and looked at the Rams roster right now, you'd be like,
yeah, Aaron Donald and friends.
I just want everyone to like look at like the way that so the one of the teams I really want people to look at is the Bengals, okay? Because the Bengals, there's not one player on that defensive line that really you go, wow, that guy's a superstar. Like Trey Hendrickson is a hell of a player, but he's not a superstar. And that defense gets a lot of pressure on teams. And this defense we have right now with the Lions, they do get a lot of pressures. Like I think that a lot of people like they equate like sacking a quarterback as like the key to it. But like more often than not, especially with some of these good quarterbacks that can get out of the pocket or they're really good at pocket awareness, if they could step up in the pocket, they're gonna avoid the sack anyways. Like what these quarterbacks are gonna try to do.
Oh, absolutely. And I see Bill Cole, he left a comment. We need to trade Jerry Jacobs on a pick to get a veteran lineman. Teams value veteran linemen. And they do and they don't. We need depth in our corner position. I don't think anyone necessarily is coveting Jerry Jacobs to get much value. I think he's more valuable to us to keeping him than he would be as a trade piece. And, you know, because then at that point it would just be trading a pick for linemen. And linemen are so available in every draft. I mean, I know you're looking for a vet, but I don't think trading, like, a valuable pick, even if a team is looking to to move a vet, I just don't think it would work out for either side. It just doesn't seem like a realistic move.
Yeah, I know a lot of people love to get on Jerry Jacobs, and that's fine because, like, you know, Jerry Jacobs, he's his own guy. But I'm trying to look up the stat. There was a stat that I saw today. One of my buddies posted in a group, but it's where Jerry Jacobs allows the least yards after a catch. So I want people to really put that in perspective, because I think what you're seeing right now is, I know a lot of people are hard on Jerry Jacobs because he does get pass interference penalties. He does do this. But we need to look at the reality of the situation that Jerry Jacobs is literally your third string corner. So if he's just coming in and serving until Emmanuel Mosley can get healthy, I mean, this isn't a bad option, because if you look at third corners throughout the league, like, you really don't get good third corners. You don't.
Well, and plus, like, this is a scenario where if you do that trade, it's pretty much a lose-lose for both teams, those trades don't happen. So, like, a team that needs that veteran lineman presence would lose their veteran lineman, and then we would lose our depth corner that probably wouldn't move the needle for another team anyways, and we lose a draft pick. So, honestly, you're looking at trades that both teams lose. And it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
And if we're being honest, there's not many great defensive – there's not really some great offensive lineman that's a backup. I was talking to a guy who played in the league, and he was an offensive lineman. And he said a backup offensive lineman is a bad offensive lineman. That's what he said. So, because you look around this league and you go, I think the Lions have, like, some of the best backups, because Evan Brown, who was a backup last year – he went and started for Seattle. I mean, Graham Glasgow, he can pretty much start for a team right now. But they have depth there. There's one part of this team that don't have depth, and that's offensive tackle. But like I said, if you don't have this, you know, starter in the waiting, you're not going to have a great, like,
backup. Well, and every year teams seem to overpay for veteran offensive linemen, and those guys either get hurt or they just, like, don't have it anymore, right? So, like, we've done it ourselves. We've overpaid for Rick Wagner, and, you know, we brought in TJ Lang. Like, I think TJ Lang is a cool dude. He seems like a really great guy, but he was on the back. He was on the later part of his career, and the injury started piling up. So it's like we've gone the experiment of paying decent bucks for a veteran lineman to come in and trying to, like, kind of fix our problems. I think most of the time you're going to find your lineman that you can keep for 4 or 5 years under team control is just going to have to be through the draft. We're going to have to see what we have through Colby Sorsdahl. We're going to probably – I would not be surprised. We have a lot of the sexy positions already. We have running back. We have quarterback. We have receivers. I bet you this next draft is going to be another trench draft.
I mean, it sets up that way, because if you look at the offensive lineman and the defensive lineman in the next draft, there's a lot of great players, and it's deep too. It's one of the deeper drafts that we've seen in a while. I mean,
well, and that's kind of the model that you want to do is do you want to continue to pay Taylor Decker $19 million and re-sign some of these guys for huge contracts, or do you want to just re-up the supply and be able to let guys like Romeo Okwara and Charles Harris go and Taylor Decker go and replenish them through the draft? Now you have 5 more years of fresh offensive and defensive linemen. I think that's going to be the route. I think every 3 or 4 drafts, we're going to have a trench-heavy draft. Just from what I've seen out of Brad Holmes and what makes sense to me, that's what I think.
Yeah, I think a guy. I think a guy like Jonah Jackson. I think he's going to be on his way out. I mean, I don't see how they're going to be able to pay him, especially if he asks for top five guard money. I mean, you can't put more money than, you know, because you got to pay Sewell coming up. You got to pay St. Brown coming up. You got to pay a lot of guys. So it's going to be it's an interesting situation.
With them moving him to left tackle after Taylor Decker was out, I'm kind of thinking that that may be the future going forward because, A, Sewell's going to get more money because left tackle money is a hell of a lot more than right tackle money. And so it's smart for him. And for two, it's a lot easier to have a really good left tackle, and we can get off of that money from Taylor Decker. So basically what we can do is we can plug and play like a decent-rated rookie or someone in free agency. And then we can pretty much say, let's just swap Decker with Sewell on the left side, maybe pay an extra $6 million per year for Sewell. But I think we're priming. I think we're going to have – I think next year Sewell's going to be our left tackle.
And he might be. I mean, he might be. But I think that Decker is a guy that I think that the Lions love. So I think that
– It just depends on the money. Like, if he can restructure and he can take a pay cut, I'll be – like,
I think they would restructure it, to be honest. I mean, he's going to get his money
paid like $19.5 million next year, dude. It's a lot.
That's where you got to weigh in the money. Like, is it going to be worth it? And you could probably restructure. I'm pretty sure that you could restructure it. So I'm not really worried about that. Like, I know that Jonah Jackson has a contract due up, and I know that he's probably going to be asking for top five money. So do you really want to pay Jonah Jackson top five money? I don't know. Right.
And I see Bill with another comment. If Hendon Hooker's healthy next season, do we trade Bridgewater for a healthy receiver? The value is just not there, man. I mean, these backups.
Well, Bridgewater's on a one-year deal anyways.
Well, these back, even if he wasn't, these backup, this isn't Madden. You're not going to be able to trade a guy that's not even a top 35 quarterback for somebody's receiver that's worth a damn. It's just not possible. It's just not realistic at all. Like, you've got to really, like, if you think that someone has, like, any sort of value, knock that down about 80%, and that's what other GMs seem to think the value is at. Like, they're cheap asses, too. Like, they want to get something for nothing just like we do. There ain't no way in hell you're going to be able to trade a backup quarterback for a receiver worth a damn. You'd have to attach – and he's on a one-year deal, but you'd have to attach him to a second- or third-round pick to get someone that's worth a
share. Yeah, I know people love to think that – like I saw a trade out there today, and I laughed my ass off because it was Teddy Bridgewater for Zach Wilson and a second-round pick from the New York Jets. If you're why would the Jets do that? Like, I just don't get it. But, you know, some of these people, they try to make up a trade to make their team better, but like you said, it's not Madden. Like, the team on the other side has a agenda too.
Absolutely. I mean, and like, you know, you got to think, would it be like, what is it worth for other teams? Like, now, if you were to say, hey, we really believe in Hendon Hooker, we're going to send, you know, Jared Goff to the Jets for a second round pick. Now, I'm sure the Jets would listen. But, again, did the Lions listen to that? I don't think so. The Brad Holmes really loves Jared Goff. I think Jared Goff is very serviceable. I think he can take you deep into a playoff run. So that, you know, something like that would intrigue a team that really needs a quarterback. But it's just not worth it because who can you go get in the second round that's going to have an immediate impact that, say, a guy like Goff has right now? It's just not, you know, you got to think of that too because most second or third round picks, depending on the position, they're going to have to take time to grow and to learn into that position. And I think Hendon Hooker, he could potentially be a guy for us, but anymore right now I see him kind of just being the backup plan and someone that's just a really solid backup for the next, you know, 3 to 4 seasons. And then when his contract is up, where do you go from there? I don't know. The Hendon Hooker pick was still kind of a head-scratcher for me, especially if we re-sign Goff to a 4-year deal after this year. I'm really going to be scratching my head at that draft pick. But, I don't know. We'll have to see, man. That one's a tough one on the quarterbacks, but I don't know. I think they have a lot of trust and a lot of faith in Goff right now, and I can see why. But I don't think we're trending towards moving off of him unless he asks for like buku bucks.
No, I agree. I think I don't know. I think you're gonna be able to get the most out of your guys. I think like you said, they're gonna do a draft next year where they're gonna go in the trenches and just kind of restructure the whole team. I think that they have an identity that they want to go for. I think that you look at Sewell, you look at Ragnow, and you look at Decker as potentially the guys that you move forward with. Obviously, you talked about Decker being on that big contract. I think they'll restructure that at some point, but it's just going to be interesting to see what they do this offseason. But obviously this season we have this big game coming up tomorrow, and Tyler,
yeah, and I know this is one of those episodes where we kind of got off the topic a little bit, but it's fun to talk about some of that stuff, you know. It's fun to talk about that shit. But yeah, man, this Packers game should be interesting. I mean, if we win, we're in sole possession of the first place of the NFC North, so that's a big deal.
Like I said earlier, before we got in this conversation about the whole JMO, and then we went to the offensive line and everything, I think this is the biggest game in recent history for the Detroit Lions, because if the Detroit Lions win, like, not only does it lock up the first place, but I think that, like, with the Chiefs playing the Vikings and the Packers coming up, I mean, essentially you're going to have a two-game swing on some of these teams. So I just, like, look at this game, and I can't say differently that I think that this team is going to do pretty well against Green Bay tomorrow. And I lost him. Okay. Anyways, so tomorrow's a big game for the Detroit Lions. Obviously, if you want to go over it again, we're going to go over it right now. The offense for the Lions has a lot better of a philosophy. Obviously, you see they're 10th in total yards, and then they're 24th in total yards for Green Bay. So that's something to look at. But Mr. Tyler's back. Tyler, you're back.
Yeah, DC for a second, man. I got a little disconnected there real quick. But yeah, I mean, I'm really looking forward to this. I mean, this is the first game of the Jordan Love era or whatever, right? So between us two. And I don't know who the Packers are, but I've also know that they've played some kind of shit teams. And we just thrashed a team that
beat them.
So this is going to tell a lot about both teams, because if they win, they're a little more serious than I thought they were.
Yeah.
But I think it'll be a close game. I mean, I'm not going to, I think we win, but I think it's going to be closer than people think. I think this is a one field goal game.
Yeah. That's
just how I'm feeling. That's just my vibes. It could be totally wrong. We could go in there and whoop ass, but I just feel this a one score type of game.
So I honestly think that the Detroit Lions are going to go in there and they're going to beat their ass. I really do. Yeah. I think that I just have a feeling, man. I think it's these feelings that I usually have. You know how I had a feeling last year that they were going to go on a run? I think this is the start of the Lions run. Last week was I think Seattle was the misnomer game where you're okay, they're not as bad as they played, but they're way better than they played. And they haven't really put a complete game together, if you're being honest with yourself.
One thing that I actually love about this, right? Here, let me look at something. Because this one's in Lambeau, right?
Yeah.
When the hell do we ever play in Lambeau in first in the beginning of the year? Whenever we play there, I feel it's snowier than hell, cold as hell. It's to get into the playoffs. It's always the worst timing that we go into Lambeau and play. So the fact that we play in Lambeau in week 4 is a blessing, man. It really is. So this thing is going to help us huge. I don't know if anyone's realizing that, or you've really thought about that or talked about it. I can't remember a time that we went into Lambeau when the pressure wasn't cranked to a million. It's either to get into the playoffs, or it's colder than shit, or it's snowing like crazy. When the hell do we ever go into Lambeau in as early as week 4?
Yeah, I can't remember a time when you had when you went into Lambeau early in the year. I remember that year that they did beat the Green Bay Packers for their first win since 1991 at Lambeau with Stafford. And that was in October, but I can't remember a time where there was a big game in September at Lambeau, because usually we play him on the road in week 17 or week 18 or week 8, even in November you're starting to play them. So I don't know, man. This schedule has set up perfectly for the Lions, because if you look at it, just look at the first 8 games. I know a lot of people, they look at the Green Bay Packer game and they go, okay, that could be a tough game. But if you get past this game, obviously you dropped that one to Seattle. But if you get past this game, you're looking at the Panthers, who are starting a rookie quarterback. You're looking at the Buccaneers, who have Baker Mayfield. And we don't even know what the hell the Buccaneers are. You got Baltimore on the road, which is going to be a tough game. And then you got the Vegas Raiders, who seem like they're falling apart at the seams. it's just it's an interesting dynamic because I don't think we, as Lions fans, we've been accustomed to get schedule luck, but this time around we are getting the schedule luck that we haven't really gotten years past. You know what I'm saying?
So, oh yeah, no, I agree completely, and I think the great part about that is that like not only are we getting that schedule luck, but like it always seems like you ever like okay, I keep saying like I need to stop and sound like a Valley girl.
Listen.
But seriously, last year we looked at the schedule and we said, oh my God, what an easy schedule, right? The schedule played way better than they should have. We actually are going into a year this year where we say, oh wow, the schedule looks favorable and all the teams that are sucking are supposed to suck. And it like it actually is working in our favor that works out. Now, that does spell disaster sometimes because you underestimate certain teams or you underestimate certain situations. But the fact that the schedule strength is actually playing out how it's supposed to and how it should predicts a good season for us. Like, I still easily, even with that loss to Seattle, which was a close game, Seattle always has our number. If we would have lost to Atlanta, I would have been worried a little bit. I would have been a little worried. But I still easily see a path for minimum of 11 wins. I still see a 12-5 season.
Yeah, I look at the schedule and So when I looked at the schedule starting out, I was like, okay, well, you got Seattle and Kansas City. Those are two tough games. But I think the tougher games come at the back end of the portion. What I'm excited about is, like, you're not healthy right now. Like, you're not as healthy as you're going to be. Let's say you go to week 16 and you're healthy and you get James Houston back. You have J-Mo back. You're going to Dallas. Like, you could absolutely you can make things happen. Like, I'm not really worried about the Lions right now because – they put themselves in a pretty good position where tomorrow, if they win, they put themselves in a better position to basically take a stranglehold on this division. Because if they win tomorrow, identically is what it's going to do is the Green Bay Packers, their one loss came against the Falcons. So there's a tiebreaker right there that you have ahead of the Packers. So if you can win tomorrow, that's another tiebreaker that you have over the Packers because it goes by sometimes you go by NFC record, right? So this game tomorrow is huge because not only for the division, because I know a lot of people were thinking
that I blew Bears, a stupid light bulb. If anyone's wondering, I blew a damn light bulb and I'm trying to put it back in so you can see me.
So I know a lot of people thought the Bears and the Vikings were going to be tough to beat, but I told you earlier in the season before the season started that the Green Bay Packers were going to be the team to beat. I didn't think much of the Bears or the Vikings because I thought the Vikings were total frauds last year. Like they literally got every ounce of luck that you could imagine. I know the luck ratings for the Detroit Lions is pretty high this year because of the drop ball by Kadarius Toney, which that tells you everything about the luck ratings. But it's just an interesting dynamic because I think if they win tomorrow, you're really taking a stranglehold on this division because I don't think you're thinking like, okay, the Chicago Bears, they're going to be a good team. I don't think you're thinking like the Minnesota Vikings are going to make a run. Like, it's just not going to happen. So, as a Lions fan, like, this tomorrow is your chance to get a stranglehold because look who comes to Detroit on Thanksgiving. It's Green Bay. So, if you win tomorrow, identically, you're playing a gimme game against on Thanksgiving against the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah. I mean, and the way you got to think about it, too, is that, like, we may be seeing the end of the Vikings as the modern Vikings as we know it. I mean, they, like, they're looking like they should be getting rid of
– And who was right?
Yeah. They are looking like they should be, like, ready to ship off Kirk Cousins. I mean, now, interesting topic. I mean, not that we have to dive deep into it because it's not our team, but – But do you see the Jets maybe calling for Kirk Cousins?
It'd be smart. I mean, if I'm the Vikings, I would, to be honest. Like, yeah. Okay, let's put it this way. Let's say you're the Vikings, right? And you're trying to – like, Kirk Cousins got a couple years on his contract. If I'm the Vikings, I'm trading Kirk Cousins at the deadline or earlier because I'm not winning with this team. Like, I'm not winning with this team. So if I could trade Kirk Cousins and I could fall in the draft and let's say by God's grace you get a guy like Michael Penix, right? Like, are you gonna be like, oh my God, like Michael Penix, like that's like, you know, blah blah blah? No, you're gonna love Michael Penix because you're gonna have 5 years with him on a rookie deal with Justin Jefferson. Like, that'd be a smart thing, but the Vikings don't do the smart things. Like, they really have never done, like, the quote-unquote smart things.
Yeah, and I struggle to see if the Lions ever really want, like, for a long time did the smart thing either, so I get it. I don't even remember the last time I think the last time they drafted a quarterback in the first round was, like, Teddy Bridgewater.
So Jay Mommy hit on this, and I want to bring this up, Tyler, because
what up, Jay Mommy? I see you on the pods all the time. What's up?
Yeah. Well, I think she's a constant listener, but, like, okay. We seen Derek Barnes on last Sunday. We seen him on the edge. We seen Jack Campbell on the edge. I know a lot of people were saying things about Aaron Glenn, like, he can't do this, he can't do that. I thought what he did last week was perfect. And if this guy keeps doing this, like, he's going to be fine. I think Aaron Glenn gets outcoached by the Seattle Seahawks. I don't know what it is. I think he needs, like, a genie in the bottle when we play the Seattle Seahawks again. Yeah. Hopefully we don't see him in the playoffs.
Yeah, but he needs a vacation that week, remember? He needs a vacation that week.
Yeah, just give the playbook to Calvin Shepard. But the plays that they were running, the schemes, the stunts, like, it was all working. And you've seen it with the way that they played. I mean, like, we can go back on it right now. The Falcons and the Lions game, look at that defense. Like, they 7 sacks, 7 pass breakups, 8 quarterback hits, 11 tackles for loss, no TDs allowed. They held a badass rushing attack to 44 yards, and there was no run longer than 11 yards. And you look at the way that they played you look at this Robinson-Gibbs comparison, but you look at the way that they held them under 200 total yards. When have you ever heard of a team holding a team under 200 total yards? It was a total great game plan by Aaron Glenn, and he needs to replicate this week, because I feel like Jordan Love, as good as a quarterback as I think he can be, I think that if he gets pressure enough, he's going to make some mistakes. Like, he's just going to make mistakes.
Well, and it's something that you kind of have to do, like, early. Like, it's going to sound silly to some people, but, like, so confidence is huge for a quarterback, right? Let's show – and I don't – and Jordan Love is technically not a rookie, right? But it's his first year starting.
He's not a veteran starter.
He's a rookie starter.
Look at the quarterback comparisons. Okay, Jordan Love is 3 for 7 touchdowns, 1 interception. His quarterback rating is 94.7. He's attempted 96 passes, 51 out of 96. Did you look at Jared Goff? Like, I mean, Jared Goff's numbers aren't great, but his quarterback rating is better than Jordan Love. It's just
I was just going to say, the way I see this is that, like, let's go and show him, like, who the hell we are and that this is our division. And let's get a guy who's a rookie starter. Like I said, I know he's not a rookie, but he's never really had a full year starting. I think before this year he had started maybe, what, like, 3-2 games. So let's go in there and you show him who the hell we are. What, and, like, that way you can kind of instill that in him for the future, so that when he does play Detroit – he does get skittish. He does get scared. He does start seeing ghosts. Like, you got to knock it into his brain early and often that we are the leaders of this division. You should be scared when you play us, and you're going to have a hard time every time you play us. I think that Aaron Rodgers' confidence alone against the teams in the NFC North was enough to elevate that team, because, dude, he literally was our freaking daddy, bro, for years.
What a great comment by Jay Mommy is, Love is ranked 33rd in passing completion. Yes, 33rd.
So, you know, what you got to do is you got to rattle this guy up, because you don't want to have a situation where the confidence carries on and that, well, like, you know, he comes in and beats our ass a couple times. Now you're like, well, shit. I don't want him having that confidence when it comes to playing Detroit. I think it's an important game.
I look at the Packers, and I really don't know what they are. I mean, let's be honest. Right. I really don't know what they are, because you beat Chicago. Okay, Chicago's ass. Let's just put it that way.
They might go 0-17, bro. They're big.
Well, ass. No, they play the Broncos this week, so that's going to be the all-time toilet bowl game. Like, who's going to win the number one overall pick, in my opinion? But, like, if you look at it from the perspective of they beat the Bears, which who the hell are the Bears? Nothing. They beat they lose to the Falcons in Atlanta. Yeah, Atlanta kind of they kind of gave Atlanta the game, and that's what I'm saying. Like, if you pressure Jordan Love enough, you can get him to make some mistakes. He made some mistakes in that game. I think he had Romeo Dobbs on a crossing route that he straight up overthrew when I was watching the game over again. He straight up overthrew it. Like he had the guy in dead set. He could, if he zoned in on it, it was like a 20-yard crossing route. So he wasn't throwing it like long distance, but he missed the pass, and it was just, he was lucky that Jesse Bates wasn't back there, and Jesse Bates was more towards the line of scrimmage, because if he was there, that's an easy interception.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's tough to see, because but like if you said, if you have a feeling we're going to beat their ass and we go in there and we thrash this team, it's really going to make a statement. So if there's a game that we need to go and like actually have an ass whooping, dude, look, you've been a Lions fan a long time. I've been a fan, Lions fan a long time. I feel like we hardly thrash teams. And I feel like every once in a while you need to beat some team's ass to just make a statement and get some hype and get some momentum. Like, you know, dude, I swear to God, we have to have the most one-score games in the league since, like, 2010.
Yeah.
Like we, it seems like even on our good years, we're winning, you know, we win by 3, we win by 2, we win by 7, we win by 6. Like, I, now that we're starting to be more dominant and we're on the rise, like, I want to beat a team's ass. We've gotten our ass beat plenty of times. I want to beat someone's ass for once. You know what I mean?
Like, and it would be great to do it to Green Bay tomorrow, because I think that the thing is there, because I think the thing you got to know about Green Bay is, like, I watched a couple of their games on the All 22 with the NFL Plus package, which if you don't have that, it's a great package. But I went back and watched some of the games on the All 22, and there were some plays where Jordan Love literally got lucky that he was playing the Bears. And I thought the Saints game last week was a total indictment on the Saints losing Derek Carr, because I felt like when they lost Derek Carr, they started, their offense went into a total.
How long is he out, by the way?
He might be out next week or 2 weeks, but yeah. So if you got Chris Olave, he might struggle, because Jameis Winston came in there and blew ass. So
you want to hear a trade that someone offered me today in fantasy?
What
we got? I know it's off topic, but they offered me Saquon Barkley, Debo Samuel, and George Pickens for AJ Brown and Alvin Kamara. I smash accepted.
Oh, I hell yeah.
All day.
George Pickens, man, he's dominating. But
dude, Saquon is on a contract year, bro. He's only gonna be out.
He's gonna want to eat. Yeah.
I got Debo Samuel, Saquon Barkley, and George Pickens for AJ Brown and Kamara.
Oh, you basically got two running backs. Like, you, Debo qualifies as a running back. But yeah, like I said,
I think Kamara has lost a step big time. I think we should be able to whoop on the Saints too.
I think the Saints game is going to be tough because you go to New Orleans. Like, if it was at Detroit, I'd say the same thing.
That's true. I mean, and Jared Goff, the way splits aren't great. That's the only thing that makes me slightly nervous about Lambeau, but it seems like he does play well in Green Bay. But I know his, like, home and away splits, like, if you look at his career or night and day, it's crazy.
I think it's the game plan that's different. I think that you're more of, like, a running team. I think that last year Jared Goff was asked to throw the ball a considerable amount of times and like against Green Bay, and he did a pretty damn good job of it. So I'm not really worried about Jared Goff on the road. I think Jared Goff's done a really damn good job just putting it together, putting, you know, momentum together. But ultimately, I think that you got to, like, look at it from the standpoint of this. Like, you need the run game to be good. And I think that tomorrow you could really take advantage of a weak run defense. Like, they're not a good run defense. And if you got Dave Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs healthy, I mean, tomorrow might be the breakout game that we've all been looking for Jahmyr Gibbs, because they're gonna have Decker back. So, like, you're going to have Sewell back at his right tackle position. And I looked at it on the Next Gen Stats, and Jahmyr Gibbs has had most of his higher yardage runs on the side of Sewell. But when Decker was here, he had a higher percentage of higher yards with Decker on that side. I know it's a small sample size, but it seems like the tackles, if Decker and Sewell are together, the Gibbs really excels. Now, he doesn't really run up the middle because that's Dave Montgomery. I mean, we've only seen Gibbs run up the middle last week because he needed to. But when you look at the Next Gen Stats, like, and he's run outside, like, his best runs came when he was on the side of Sewell or Decker. And Matt Nelson, when he was in there, it wasn't good for him.
Yeah. This is one of those games where there's always a couple games that we don't know what to expect. And with this just being a new team, like a team that we've been losing to majority of our whole lives, really. And now, like, they don't have a quarterback named Aaron Rodgers or Brett Favre. I don't know what's coming. So it's weird, but I feel like we're trending in the right area, because just based on what I've seen and known so far, I think we're going to be all right.
I like Jordan Love as a quarterback. I just don't fully trust him. So I want to look at
what I want to say real quick to everybody is that, like, if we do lose to Green Bay in Green Bay and it's a close game, like, don't panic.
Yeah. Well, they panicked against Seattle, so they're going to panic anyways. But let's go to the top threats for Green Bay, because this is what we got to do. Green Bay, the top threats are – so if Aaron Jones plays tomorrow, he's your top threat, because he's always a game breaker. You got A.J. Dillon on the offense and Christian Watson in the third. I was going to add Romeo Dubs or Jaden Reed on there, because they've been pretty damn good at the start. But ultimately, those are the three guys I key on. On a defensive side of the ball, Rashawn Gary is obviously the guy you look at. I mean, he injured Derek Carr last week, so he's a guy that likes to, you know, hit you. Jaire Alexander, enough said, he's an elite cornerback. And then Preston Smith, he's a guy that he doesn't do anything great, but he's just good. And, you know, I was going to put Devondre Campbell on there, but obviously he's out, so that kind of opens up the game for the Detroit Lions, because Devondre Campbell, if you weren't on the podcast earlier, because I know we've had a bump in the ratings right now, but Devondre Campbell is one of the best linebackers against tight ends. So if you're looking for a way to, like, kind of incorporate Sam Laporta into the game plan, that's your shot, because I don't really think there's a player outside of Campbell that can help the Green Bay Packers cover a tight end like Sam Laporta. And if you were listening to Jared Goff, he was on 97.1 The Ticket with Carson Anderson, and he was saying that he has a similar connection to Laporta like he did with St. Brown early in his career, where he's starting to trust him and starting to know what his tendencies are and where he's going. And I was listening to Boomer Esiason on the Kickoff with Boomer and Valenti. And if you don't listen to that podcast, it's a really great podcast, because Boomer Esiason is one of the best in the business, especially being an NFL quarterback. But what he said was interesting. He was talking about Tua, and he was saying, like, he's like, he doesn't value arm strength as, like, the major, like, that's what you got to have as a quarterback. What Boomer was saying was, he says that Tua, he sees where players are going and he makes the throw in time for them to get there.
Not like where he is, but where he's going to be.
Yeah, he mentioned Jared Goff too. He goes, Jared Goff is the same way. Like, he knows where the player is going, so he'll make the throw in time. Now, he doesn't have the strongest arm, but you don't have to have the strongest arm, because Dan Marino didn't have the strongest arm. So I just look at it like this. I think that this Detroit Lions team is more – I think the offense is more star-studded than it's ever been, especially with Jared Goff at the helm. And when you get J-Mo back, it's basically going to be like a trade deadline acquisition anyways.
Definitely. No, I agree with you. I think that
jealous, David, because you will be at Lambeau tomorrow. So be loud, because I know Lions fans travel. They're gonna be loud.
It's gonna be fun, man. I'm gonna have a little nice little spread over at my place. Gonna have some food, man. Gonna cook up some probably get some wings, man. Honestly, I don't know if I'm down to cook, but I'm gonna grab some wings, maybe some pizzas, bro. I'm just gonna sit back and enjoy this game. So I'm pumped for this, man. It's gonna be dope.
And Jay Mahoney says the Packers would have lost if the Saints quarterback wasn't injured. That's what I was saying. Like, it felt like when I rewatched the game, it felt like the
Saints. Hey, Jameis pulled Jameis, right? Jameis pulled Jameis.
Well, he ate the L that day, so that's what it was. But I really want to look at real quick before we sign off. It's the wide receiver comparisons, the top wide receivers on the team. And you look at Amon-Ra St. Brown, obviously he's their top wide receiver, and Romeo Dubs is their top wide receiver because Christian Watson has been injured.
Sure.
But if we're going to look at it from a standpoint of who are you most afraid of from the Green Bay Packers tomorrow to have a big game, and who on the Lions do you think that will have a big game that you were not expecting?
Okay, one more time on the question. You said, what was the first one part?
So the question is, we saw the wide receivers comparison, you know, Romeo Dubs and Amon-Ra St. Brown. If you were to say who's going to have an X factor game for Green Bay that you're not expecting, and who's going to have an X factor game for the Lions offense that you're not expecting?
I would say defensively, for the Packers, I mean, it's hard because I don't think anyone's going to pop off that I don't expect to pop off. I'm scared of Rashawn Gary tomorrow because watching him, he has had some injuries this year and he hasn't played, or he's coming off an injury, so he hasn't played as much as he could have. But he's getting pressure early and often. I think Rashawn Gary is going to be a problem. So there's not a lot I'm not expecting that I think will necessarily go off, but I'm definitely scared of Rashawn Gary.
So I'll give you one on the Green Bay offensive side of the ball. So I want to hit on a comment real quick. Jay Mommy said that a Goff's strongest arm question mark, he led the league in 40-yard completion percentage. What I was saying about Jared Goff was I was saying that Boomer Esiason was saying that, like, when you look at a guy like Tua and you look at a guy like Jared Goff, they don't have the same arm strength as a Stafford or a Josh Allen. One of the things that they rely on most importantly is to kind of like get the ball in front of the wide receiver. Like, they know where they're going, so they make the throw in time, on time, and it's not behind the wide receiver. That's what I'm talking about. Because if you look at Tua and you look at Goff, they're similar in the way that they get the ball to them. And, you know, you see Tua all the time. He'll underthrow Tyreek Hill. I know a lot of people are worried about Jared Goff underthrowing Jameson Williams. But if you look at it, like, I mean, there's only three players in the league that could probably throw a deep ball to Jameson Williams and Tyreek Hill. I mean, you don't have that kind of arm strength.
You guys, I don't know if anybody's ever really watched a lot of Chiefs games when Tyreek Hill's on the Chiefs, but Patrick Mahomes underthrew Tyreek too.
He's fast.
That guy can rip off like an 85-yard throw and like. Well, time I was underthrew Tyreek too.
So I was listening to a podcast. It was, I forget who it was. It was a former quarterback on the podcast, but he said that one of the hardest things to throw to is a guy who is super fast because you think he's going to be in one spot and he's on the next spot and you're totally not anticipating that's where he's going to be. So you're kind of going off kilter. But back to the point I was about to make about the player on offense, a Green Bay offense that I think that could have a big game, and I hope this is not the case, but Luke Musgrove. You know who Luke Musgrove is, Tyler. I was on Luke Musgrove when we went to the trade the draft. I was like, look, we got to get a tight end. I wanted Sam LaPorta. I wanted Michael Mayer. I wanted Luke Musgrove. Those were the three guys that I wanted. Right. And sadly, that Green Bay got Luke Musgrove. But I worry about Luke Musgrove because this team has been so bad at covering tight ends. Now, the key here, though, is that you have Brian Branch. And Brian Branch, I think that they did a pretty damn good job. And you know who did a pretty good job on Kyle Pitts was Ifeatu Melifonwu. That was a key player in the Atlanta game because he really locked up Kyle Pitts, and that was pretty interesting. But
yeah, and someone that so as far as Green Bay's offense, somebody that like for me seems like he can be like a game breaker kind of guy is Jaden Reed. So I'm MSU guy. Second round pick. The dude's got skills. I think that Jaden Reed could be sneaky. So we got to find a way to like, I shouldn't say always, cause I know this is the new Lions and we're not SOL, but it always seems like the Lions, no matter what, they always find a way to let one like low key guy just like break it open. So if we can keep some of those guys from breaking it open, like Musgrave and Jaden Reed, and we can keep these guys like those X factor, not known players that can really have potential to break up, we can keep that like tamed. I think we'll be all right. And someone for the Lions offense that maybe people are not expecting to have a good game that I think has potential to have a good game. I mean, let's get Antoine Green some reps, huh?
That's an interesting one. Antoine Green was a guy that I was thinking of, to be honest, but I'm going to go.
It's hard because I feel like our offense is so, like, sporadic. They spread the ball so much.
You really can't go with anybody on the Lions offense because it could be anybody's day. Like, we saw Josh
Ryan. You could say, like, oh, I'm surprised. Like, you wouldn't be surprised. You wouldn't be surprised if Khalif Raymond went off. You wouldn't be surprised if Goff or Gibbs or Montgomery or LaPorta went off. You definitely wouldn't be surprised if St. Brown went off. And you wouldn't be surprised if Josh Reynolds went off. So it's like, I don't know. I don't know. Craig Reynolds, Antoine Green, guys that don't play. I don't know.
Yeah, you wouldn't be surprised if Josh Reynolds went off or Khalif Raymond went off or Sam LaPorta went off or Jahmyr Gibbs went off. Like, I don't think anybody's really surprised if any of those guys go off. So I think that's just the whole thing.
I guess the only thing I'm rooting for is, like, let's get like three Antoine Green catches. I, that won't happen.
So Jay Mommy is one of our, she's one of the more intelligent people on the podcast. She said the Lions will rattle Love. He won't be able to do all his checkdowns. I've seen it before. And if you look at the way that the Falcons rattled him, they did the same exact thing. They rattled Love by not allowing him to go to his checkdowns, and then he was going deep on some throws, and he was missing them all the time. So that's the interesting thing about Jordan Love.
Jay Mommy, this is on Aaron Glenn, because you need to send the blitz. You need to make him uncomfortable. Last week, we finally started doing some stunts and some blitzes and actually pressuring their guys. And look, we had 7 sacks. This is the task that you're talking about lays in the hands of Aaron Glenn.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that standpoint. Like, I think that if the offense, if Aaron Glenn can call a good game and they can get pressure on Jordan Love like they did Desmond Ridder, I think that they're totally going to run away with this game. I really do. And I do think that they're going to get pressure on Jordan Love. I think that I think a lot of people were worried in the first part of the season about the pressure and the sacks and everything. But you got 7 sacks last game, okay? You're fine. You were getting pressure on the quarterback. You were getting pressure on the quarterback. I mean, you were top 5 in pressures. You were going against Patrick Mahomes and Geno Smith. And I know a lot of people don't want to give credit to Geno Smith, but the fact of the matter is Geno Smith does a really damn good job of getting up in the pocket and making the right throws. So that's why you didn't get the sacks that you were expecting.
100%.
All right, so Tyler, tomorrow's game is going to be pretty interesting. I want to get your closing. I want to get your prediction on the game. Like, what do you think is going to happen tomorrow?
Like I said earlier, I do think it's going to be a close game. And just because I'm going to just err on the side of caution. I know that you're looking for an ass whooping, but I'm saying it's going to be a closer game just because of the fact that we don't necessarily know what we're getting with Green Bay. And sometimes that like sneaky factor can sneak up on us, sometimes in negative ways. I think overall we have a very efficient game. And I wouldn't be surprised if it were more lower scoring. I would say like my scoring prediction for tomorrow is going to be 21-17 Lions.
All right. That's interesting. 21-17. Cause I think I'm going to go 28-10 Lions.
Okay.
I think, well, no, 28-13 Lions. I'll give them another 3 points, but, I just think that the Lions are going to rattle Love. I think that Love has shown the impenetrability, especially in the games that I watched with the Falcons, that when he gets pressured, he starts to get antsy in the pocket, and he doesn't make the same throws he made with the Chicago Bears or the Saints. I think the Saints – one of the things I think the Saints did wrong is they didn't send a lot of backers. They didn't send a lot of blitzes at Love. You got to send blitzes at Love. I like what Jay Mommy said here. So they had Campbell at edge for 26 plays. That seems to work. I think you're going to see a lot of Derek Barnes and Campbell at the edge, because I think one of the things that a lot of people were impressed by was Jack Campbell and Derek Barnes on the edge making the plays that you didn't think that they could make. And I think that, like, when they drafted both those players, I didn't think they thought about Jack Campbell on the edge.
Right.
But I think Jack Campbell is such an athlete that he could be really, really good for this Lions team.
So with that, Jay Mommy, like, what I want to touch on is that I think there are good and bad things about having Jack Campbell on the edge. One bad thing is that he's not in the middle. This dude is a coverage freak, right? He's tall. He has great instincts. You're taking away from the middle. But the good thing is that he's on the field, right? So, like, if we have Anzalone and Barnes, and, you know, you're talking about putting a freak athlete on the field and at least having him be able to make plays, that I can see as being a positive.
But I just look at the versatility of putting either Jack Campbell and Derek Barnes on a blitz and put them on the edge. Like, that's pretty killer. Yeah. Like, that's a good thing to do. And
I'm missing James Houston right now.
It's gonna be. Hopefully, we get him back sooner rather than later. If we got him back by Thanksgiving, that'd be great for me.
I don't care that Charles Harris got a sack. Romeo Okwara and Charles Harris are not the move on the other side.
No, I think we had a lot more confidence in them, but I don't see it from Charles Harris or Romeo Okwara. Now, I could be proven wrong tomorrow, but you never know.
I'm still very intrigued on the interior with like Josh Pascal and Aleem McNeil.
Sucked about Josh Pascal being injured too. Like that,
I know, dude.
The Lions, hard. The Lions have dealt with a lot of injuries early, which is they dealt with last year. But I think that they're overcoming the injuries better than they did last year, so that's a good sign. But
I'm ready to see what I'm ready to see if John Kaminsky can kind of get some make some noise like he did last year.
Yeah, I think that I thought John Kaminsky was going to do good last week, but he just kind of went in a shell. But you know, it happens. And look, I think that John Kaminsky is going to.
You can't expect fifth or sixth string like depth role players to like always make noise, but like if we can get some production out of these like end of the rotation guys, it's going to be important.
And you're going to get Julian Okwara back too, so that could be pretty killer too. But so. We're going to go to our closing thoughts. Obviously, you have closing thoughts.
We got our bold prediction first, eh?
Oh, shit. We've got the bold. Okay, go with the bold prediction.
All right. Let's see. My bold prediction is going to be Gibbs for two tutties.
Oh.
Yep. Ooh. If David Montgomery comes back, I want Gibbs to show some fight, and I want him to show why he needs to remain the guy. And I want him to really like light a fire and to show these guys why, hey, you have to give me more reps than him. I want to see that dog come out of him. So I've got, and I'm not going to narrow it down to two receiving, two catching or two rushing or one of each. I'm just going to say two touchdowns total. And so that's my bold prediction. Gibbs gets in there twice. And then I always like to do a defensive one. I'm going to say, next week we have, we got Cam Sutton getting his first pick.
Mm-hmm.
So
you got Cam Sutton. So if you were to go Jahmyr Gibbs, two touchdowns, that's plus 900 right now. There's a profit boost on FanDuel, which I'll put in the link in the comments. And if you put $50 down, you could win $680 if you wanted to. Now, my bold prediction is going to be a Jahmyr Gibbs anytime touchdown, and I'm going to go – let's go – where's the rushing totals, man? Hold up. So, I'm going to go – my bold prediction is Jahmyr Gibbs runs for 100 and scores a touchdown. Well, they don't got the rushing things out there now. Anyways, I don't know what the odds are right now, but – I think he's going to go crazy this week. I think this is a week to go crazy because, like I said, if we go back to what I was talking about the defense, like look at the rushing yards that the Green Bay Packers are giving up, 136.7. I mean, yeah, I know you played Justin Fields, but, you know, Jared Goff has more touchdowns than Justin Fields, so right. Rushing touchdowns. So I think this is a chance for this rushing offense to get off the ground more than it has. And I think with Taylor Decker and Penei Sewell playing at their natural positions that they were expected to be at, I think that's going to be critical for this team. And I think that Jahmyr Gibbs has shown up a possibility to be better with Decker and Sewell in the game. So I'm interested to see that. And I think they're going to go for 100 yards. I think they're going to run all over Green Bay tomorrow. That's my opinion. And a couple of comments that Jay Mommy has a bold prediction too. She says the Lions are going to get three interceptions. So if the Lions get three interceptions, guess what? That plays into my score prediction, so you know how it is. But closing thoughts, Tyler. I know you have some closing thoughts, so
yeah. I mean, excuse me. Look, my closing thoughts for this week. I think we're gonna, you know, if we do wanna to make sure there are no surprises, we have to come out. We have to play very aggressive. When we have to keep their foot on their necks. I want us to have the idea that we're gonna go into their home field and we're gonna embarrass them. Because if we don't come out very aggressive, very strong, I do see this being a close game as I predicted earlier. So, if we come right off the rip and we score the first two drives, my ideas and my thoughts are going to change. It's going to, you know, but another thing that we do from all these years is we have these, where we get aggressive and we score, well, then we start to light up. I want to see us be aggressive from start to finish. And I want to see these guys come in here and really, really, really just get after it, play hard, be aggressive, and not have these silly, dumb mistakes. We have a very young team. We have a team full of rookies, and I'm just looking for these guys to have a really solid game because although every game is important, the first division game away against another team who could also take the division title, this is a very, very, very important game. So we have to be sharp. We have to be prepared. We have to be ready. And don't take this team lightly, because any given Sunday, any team can show up and they can outwork you, they can outplay you, and they can play better football. So be aggressive, be smart, don't let your emotions get the best of you. I think that, you know, we just remain level and calm and we stay focused, that we should be able to come in here in Lambeau and get a W. Because if we win in Lambeau, that sets a big precedent for how the division views us and how we view ourselves and our potential moving forward for getting potentially a first division title win since 1991. It's big. Oh, you're on mute there, Joe. Can't hear you.
God, I can't believe I put myself on mute, but I agree with you 100%. You know, this is a big game tomorrow, and it's going to play into my closing thoughts too, because I think this is the biggest game in recent history for the Detroit Lions, because if you look at the fact of the matter, this is a team that if they win this game, they basically take a two-game stranglehold on the Packers, because they have the tiebreaker, the first tiebreaker, and they have the NFC tiebreaker because they lost the Atlanta Falcons, who you just beat. You don't look at anybody in the NFC North besides the Packers as competition, because I don't look at the Vikings as competition. I don't look at the Bears as competition, obviously. I mean, the Bears are gutter trash. Even Jaquan Brisker, the safety of the Bears, is saying that they're trash. So, look, tomorrow's a huge game for the Lions, because if they can win that game, they go home, they play the Carolina Panthers. Bryce Young is healthy. He's going to make a start against the Detroit Lions. And if he's coming to Detroit, he has never witnessed a loud crowd like that. I mean, I know he played in Atlanta, but I think Detroit's a lot louder than the Atlanta crowd is. So you're probably going to win that game. You're going to go to Tampa Bay. You're going to have the ability to win that game as well. This is a game that I think the Lions have to win, in my opinion. This is a game that you have to win, because if you really want to tell people that you're different, I mean, there's a lot of naysayers out there, and there's a lot of people that if the Lions were to lose, they would jump on and say, man, it's the same old Lions. It's the same old Lions. Well, if it's not the same old Lions, you need to go out in a game that you're expected to win and absolutely beat their ass, because this is a game you're expected to win and you should be able to win, because this is a team that is, I say, better than in recent past. So if you win this game, you're setting yourself up to be the NFC North jewel. And then when you get to Green Bay on the back end of the schedule in Detroit, you're going to have a chance to double down on them.
I totally agree with you, man. This is really important, and I'm super stoked to see what it looks like. So, yeah, man, let's go Lions, baby.
Alex, I hate the SOL talk too, but, you know, a lot of people bring it up. I hear it on the podcast all the time about SOL, so I just had to bring it up, because if you really want to just distinguish that notion at all, you win tomorrow, and then you go to play Carolina at home, you're going to be 4-1 or 3-1. 3-1?
3-1.
3-1. Okay, 3-1. You're gonna be 3-1 with going to Tampa Bay and going to Baltimore. So this is a game that if you win, it sets you up for holding the division with a stranglehold, because I don't think Green Bay is gonna. I don't think Green Bay. You would have to. Green Bay has a game against Kansas City coming up. Minnesota has a game against Kansas City coming up. So that's like basically a 3-game stranglehold. If you win this game, this is huge for the division. This is huge for the Detroit Lions. It's huge for Dan Campbell. It's huge for this franchise, and you basically hold it all in your cards.
Yes, sir.
All right, we will see you guys on the next podcast of the Detroit Lions News podcast. We'll do. I might do a game after the game if they win. If they don't win, I'll be pissed off. So, I'll see you guys. I'll probably do a little video tomorrow, but after the game. But maybe Tyler will join me. They'll be late, but anyways, we'll see you guys in the next podcast. Obviously, we're gonna do an earlier podcast, maybe Saturday or maybe even Sunday, you know, just to go over the game. But we will see you guys in the next podcast on the Detroit Lions News podcast. Thank you for watching. And if you're new to the podcast, subscribe on Apple, Spotify, rate it, and then we'll be happy with it. But thank you for watching, and we appreciate you watching this podcast. So we'll see you in the next podcast.
See you guys.